You're about to listen to the Reverend Tolu Alugo Agboola, who is the set man of His Worship Christian Network Global, and has been given the Word of Truth mandate amongst other mandates in order to teach the church and raise true worshipers. Now, Reverend Tolu Alugo Agboola.
House tonight. Where do you was? I want to see what you look like. Okay, this is you. Please stand, let us celebrate. They are my newest friends. I've never met them physically, but I hope I'm not scary. Okay, it's good to see you. And where's my wife? Stand, let them look at you. That's how small our family is still for now. Stand. Okay, so like she carries a child, you will. Do you have children yet? Okay, church, can we in thanksgiving receive their baby? We'll pray for 3 minutes. In thanksgiving. If there was warfare attracted to it, it's over. We just want to thank God. Give Pastor your life, Pastor. He has walked that road before. So he will give the pronouncement. I need a microphone. Church, you are not praying. Pray. We are thanking God for their baby. If they have gone through any kind of deprivation, we are appreciating God because the tide has turned. Endo gagaba mommy for kina savaria reko sata bala fika ton fedai ko biete ke voska parado sikomo maito sele kabai fi ponte yada anote asetobia. We receive with thanksgiving. We receive with thanksgiving that the end of a season of warfare is come. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. So, Pastor Diola, you can pray.
And Father, we give you thanks because we know that you are faithful. We give you thanks because it is your will that we multiply. It is your will that we bring forth after you, after your kind, our kind after your kind. And Father, tonight we ask that in the name of Jesus we receive the children for them in the name of Jesus. Blessed be God who took us through the things that we went through, that we might be consolations unto others. In this, you have granted us strength to be able to impart unto others.
Yes.
And therefore, in this we come.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Also, there is a grace that is in this house. I remember vividly 2020, December 6th. We were prayed for here, and by the next year we came with our babies. It is a grace that is hanging in the house. It is not the first, it is not the second, and that has not been the last. Therefore I key into this grace and I speak forth that in the space of 1 year, as it always is, that the children come.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And therefore I speak that whatever it is that is causing the delay, it is taken away this minute. In the name of Jesus. Everyone, everything that might have a hand in holding this testimony back, we lift the ends off this testimony. In the name of Jesus, be fruitful. In the name of Jesus, be fruitful. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And Father, we, like your servant has pronounced, we ask that all that concerns them is perfected in this season. Your hands begin to bear rule. Let this evening of fellowship be unto you the opening of a gate of into new experiences. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So we'll see after the meeting, and then we'll see, like we said, we'll see. Good. Okay. So that's one. In a little over an hour from now, we want to receive a cup. I know Pastor Genesis, when it comes up, he will need to apologize to WCM for not informing you that he's going to marry. How many of you remember Pastor Genesis? He's been here to minister to, and he ministers powerfully, even though he was afraid of me. So he's here with his beautiful, and his wife is beautiful. All of our wives are beautiful. So just stand and see them, then later we'll bring you forth. So please, this is... he was invited to come into the light so that we can see his beautiful wife, but I think he doesn't want everybody to see his beautiful wife, so he has decided to sit where the lights are dim. But we will still see you here. So in due course of this meeting, we'll bring both of them out. Like one day we'll bring Jibola out too, and Isaac and Tope. Yes. The Lord wills it so. And as long as Jesus tarries, it is a joy that will not elude any one of you. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I don't want it to become a prayer service, but let's move. Let's move. So, we'll have them in due course of this meeting. They will dance from, since they chose the back, they will need to dance from the back to the front. You can be seated, please. They will dance from the back to the front to pray for them. And then we'll trust God to give them, to gift them. Amen. All right. Thank you, Father. The indwelling Christ. The indwelling Christ. First of all, for tonight, I want to announce that our labors are not an attempt to introduce another Christ. What we seek to do is to sectorize the expressions of the Christ so that we become masters of the different expressions of the Christ. Many times I've had the privilege to introduce the Holy Ghost in conferences. I have introduced him as the compound spirit. And what I mean by that is that from my basic knowledge of chemistry, a compound is designed to be forged by the congregation of molecules. Am I right? Am I still right? Okay. So, what it means is that in fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you are afforded the privilege to know him operationally along many lines. Everything he does gives you an opportunity to give him a name. So when you congregate all of his names together, the Holy Spirit was transmitted into the believer in the day you call Jesus Lord as a one-stop shop. A bundle of many possibilities. All these possibilities giving us a privilege to call him different names. So he's the spirit of victory. He's the spirit of fruitfulness. He's the intelligent spirit. He's the excellent spirit. He's the spirit of prophet. And I'm sharing them sometimes that when the Bible says that God gives his beloved what? Sleep. God doesn't come down to give you sleep. Sleep is still administered by who? By, well, you're afraid. He's also the spirit of sleep. You will not know him that way until you begin to battle insomnia. And you have ingested Valium and your eyes are still broad open. And you now say, God, please help me sleep. He's the spirit of our help. And because the help you need is sleep, he will become unto you the spirit of sleep. I know they told you that the spirit of sleep is always an evil spirit. The Holy Ghost is also the spirit of sleep. He's the one who gives God's beloved sweet sleep. Amen. In the same way, the Christ who began his expression as the man Christ, and for the purposes of bringing us into the fellowship of God, he became Christ the body. John 14. And then by extension, he becomes Christ the habitat. If any man be where? In Christ. And because in the day that Pentecost happened, Pentecost was an operation that was occasioned because a coronation service happened in heaven. And the testimony of scriptures was that when he ascended, he sat on the right hand of God and he was proclaimed Lord and Christ. It means there's also what we call Christ the office. Those are four principal expressions from the Christ. But there are also relational definitions that you can give to the Christ. When I speak of relational definitions, there are definitions that are byproducts of our fellowship with him. So that in the day that you gave your life to Jesus, there was a transmission of his essence into you. And that's what we studied last week. We called it the incoming Christ. He came into you. And I said, the incoming Christ occasions what reality? The wonder of conversion. The wonder of conversion. Because he came in. Now, in case you were not around for that sermon, it's good to pick up the sermon. I think it was quite explanatory. So we'll not go back to give a feedback. Because this week is one of the busiest weeks that I've ever had in ministry. This one. So I'm trying to manage strength. I'll be in church on Tuesday. But make sure you're in church too. Tonight we want to go into the other two aspects. Hopefully we can finish. We'll try and see quickly the indwelling Christ. And we'll also see the infilling Christ. Or if you want, Christ's indwelling and then Christ's infilling. So last week was Christ's incoming. Okay. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 20 to 28. We want to do that long reading again. For those of you who write topics, it is Christ's indwelling, which is the intensification of consecration. The intensification of consecration. And having made peace with peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So that's the body of Christ again. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory. And I said the word riches there is what? Abundance of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the expectation of glory, whom we preach, speaking of Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. And the word perfect there is also complete, is also matured in Christ Jesus. So this is the labor of a minister. We preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, complete, and matured in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a reason why this kind of labors, as we are undertaking, have become very necessary. I just perceive the need to strengthen the foundation for this kind of teaching. The reason is because a journey in the similitude of Cain's journey has been incepted by many in the body of Christ. You can go to Genesis 4:16 so that you see what Cain's journey looked like. The Bible says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. If you continue to read this story, you will find out that Cain's journey outside the presence of God was not, in a way, a fruitless journey. Because one of the achievements of the man Cain was that he built a city and called the name of the city what? Enoch. So Cain knew his wife, and even though he had moved out of the presence of God, the capacity to procreate had not been taken away from him. It means people can be fruitful outside God. And she conceived and bare Enoch. They are not only, there's the possibility of fruitfulness outside God, not only does not exist in isolation, there's also the possibility of being prophetic outside God. Because there was a man who was designed to pioneer the path of intimacy with God, whose name was going to be what? Enoch. But the man who walked out of the presence of God already named his child prophetically the same name that Enoch was going to bear. That's how potent a man can still be when he walks out from the presence of God. And bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. I've seen people raise prayer points from here. Say, pray that you will build a city. And people have labored to build this kind of city, forgetting that this city was not initiated by God. This city became the hub of strange civilizations. Strange civilizations. Because when a man leaves the presence of God, whatever he builds technically no longer has God in it. But you can build without God. You can marry without God. We found out in Nigeria that you can even do ministry even if you are not saved. I mean, you don't know what submitting to Jesus looks like. You have never said the sinner's prayer in your life and you can have a global ministry. Selah. You can preach if you are not saved. If you are a master of English comprehension, you can preach. All you need to do is go to finishing school. Know how to combine suits together in the right colors. And then speak Queen's English. Oh, sorry. It's now King's English. Okay. So, you can... You know, it should be King's English now. I think they're even going to tamper with the pound. Yes. So all of you that have been hoarding pounds, hoping that the value will go up, you will wake up one day and find out that the currency you have in your room is obsolete. May Jesus show you mercy. You better go and exchange it for whatever the currency. The pound do not be 5,000 naira. I know people have prophesied it on the altar that by end of 2023, the dollar will be 5,000 naira. It will not happen. May you not wake up and see that $1 is 1 naira. Before you let go of the dollar and embrace the naira. Brother. Some of us are praying. We are praying. We want things to level up. May our prayers not catch up with your greed. Okay. So I was saying that after this kind of journey that we saw here, people in the body of Christ, and sad enough, but in the pulpit and the pew, we have seen people who began with God but have consciously journeyed away from God and have created things that are enviable. The challenge is this kind of journey leaves us to wonder, why can someone begin with God and then begin to journey away from God? The answer is very simple. I found out that Cain could no longer acknowledge the God within. Every time you lose touch with the God that dwells within you, your external expressions will give voice to what you have forgotten. I'll give you an example. Do you know why people fail exams? It's not always because the spirit of failure hangs over them. It's that embodied knowledge escaped. He was taught that 2 plus 2 is what? Huh? 3. What was the answer he gave me? 1. You see, if it was quiz now, somebody would have won for his question cheaply. I'm saying that there's a possibility. If you were, you don't know why 2 plus 2 is 4. You don't know why. They just told you that if you add 2 together, it's 4. Are you with me? Does anybody really know why? Were you there when they decided that 2 plus 2 would be 4? No, because it could be anything. Well, we learned 1 plus 1 is... But my own Bible says the two shall become. You see, it means if you change realms, additions and multiplications will be different. So that God is one. And sometimes if you add one to God, is what? Eh? Is. If we want to fight and you add 200 to 200 on this side of the world, how many do you have fighting you? If they add you to God, they say one with God is. It means you are more than them. Anything you add to God is more than anything you can add in this world. Because it's a realm reality. Are you with me? So, it means 2 plus 2 equals 4 is for a realm of existence. If you forget what they told you and you get into the exam, what makes you fail is not because you want to fail. It's that there is a knowledge within that you have forgotten, either consciously or unconsciously. Cain must have forgotten the sounds that administered sanity to him. And he was willing to journey away from that sound because if it is no longer there, moving away from it is easy. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 so that I'll show you how that thing works. That's why we must labor around the indwelling Christ. It may be that the reason why people go to church and still behave like unbelievers is that the government within has truly not been acknowledged, or it has been forgotten. It may be the reason why we are afraid whenever the enemy says, "Hey, we are coming," is that we have forgotten what was said in 1 John. He says, "Little children, you have overcome him." Why? Because greater is he that is in you. If you forget the magnitude of the one that is within, you will run away at every threat. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. The Bible says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." Every man has a bank of knowledge. But these people did not. They did not make any attempt. And even when they were encouraged to, it was against their will. The Bible says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So it was not Bible knowledge that they did not have, because that would have been that they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. Are you with me? When we say God in their knowledge, it means that it's an engineer. But when they say, "How many bags of cement will be used to build this wall?" Inside this engineering calculation to produce the bags of cement, he removes God from it so he can cheat. Are you with me? So if you say, "Why are you cheating? You don't fear God," that's his problem. I said before that people want to steal. This is how they look. Front, back, which other side? Right and left. And nobody looks up. God, they believe that there's nobody looking from up. And they have not been taught that the earth is a record keeper, so nobody looks down. That's how Cain must have killed Abel. And then slew his brother. Unfortunately, it was even not necessary for God to look down, because there was a record keeper who receives blood and we transmit. And so God said, "The blood of your brother crieth out from the ground upon which you are slain him." And so a court session broke out. If a thief looks up, he will not steal. That's how to retain God in your knowledge. That as you go about your normal life, there is the carriage of the consciousness you add. It's like you, the way you add salt to rice that makes rice enjoyable. God must be added to everything. So some people are fighting and you say, but you are Christians. They say, "Let's leave God out of this matter." They are saying, "We have enough tools to solve this problem. We don't need to, don't bring God into this thing." Why is this thing showing power off? Is it from you? So the Bible says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I need a lexicon so that we peep into the word reprobate. Quickly. Philip, is it possible that you get a lexicon out there? Lamde, you check. Okay, good. Please help me check. So, anybody, the word reprobate. Why is he taking this wrong? Okay, all of us don't have lexicons again. We have all lost our phones. So what are the words, Sunshine?
An absolute denial.
An absolute denial.
No, not less or not least. Lack, neither, never, without.
Okay, so a reprobate mind is a mind that is structured to absolutely deny. A mind that is total, they have converted the gates to fences. That even if God wants to find a way into that heart, it will be impossible for God to come in. The word absolute means that there is no access route for God to enter that heart. And if your heart becomes like that, the Bible says the things you begin to do are the things which are not convenient. You will act against your pleasure. Even you will hurt yourself. You remember those priests of Baal? They were cutting themselves. They should have had sense. Now if we, I'm sure they're not cutting their stomach. Maybe one cut his wrist. And that's suicidal. But they were willing to go to any length. You know, HIV does not scare someone who has entered this mode. Now, there's syphilis, so there's gonorrhea. What other STD do we have? Eh? Oh, yeah, now. I have mentioned AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea. They say staphylococcus something. What else? They are very terrible sexual transmitted diseases. But he's not thinking diseases. He can expose himself to the things that will terminate his life. When liquor bar, okay, many of you don't know liquor bar. Liquor bar used to be along that road that goes to Alata. Am I right, Lamde? The bar has closed down. Eh? Okay, forever. Oh, are you involved? No, I don't mean involved in drinking there because I know that some people marked certain bars. Many years ago, a young man was encountered at liquor bar. And the salvation message was being administered to this young man. But this was his response. He said, don't preach to me now. That this money spending, that car outside, is his younger brother. It means it was his younger brother that he used to come into money to buy the car. And that they told him that he would be alive for 10 years. That meeting was in his first year. So he's confident that the enemy gave him money and gave him a number of years to live. And he can trust the devil. That if the devil says 10 years, don't come now. Just give me time. You can come in the ninth year. And then we'll negotiate my soul. My talent was that it was the devil that promised him. If he had retained God in his knowledge, he would have been informed that the devil is the father of lies. Lamde, you were here. One of our brothers, I can't remember who the brother was, called us. I used to come to church every day that time. And said that somebody ran mad. They wanted to bring him. A student. So we came here. I prayed. Because I always pray to ask God, should we go? Should we not go? If he doesn't send you, the person can get well. You can become mad. We need to tell younger Christians that the possession of power does not equal the commissioning to express. What really shows that you are powerful is that you can house it and deploy it only when you are commanded. Because if you have power and that power makes you function, it means you don't have the power to withhold power. Are you with me? If not, the man at the beautiful gate will have been cured by Jesus. Peter will have had nothing to do. Jesus will have finished everybody. So Jesus went to Solomon's pouch. How many people did he heal? Just that man. That one paralytic. Pick up. I have no man. Pick up thy mat and go away. Jesus left people there because Paul will heal somebody. Peter's shadow must touch some people. Are you with me? Yes. So he understood the dimensions of his ministry. The possession of power does not make you a showman. Everyone who plays host to the power of God does it from a posture of a trustee. Power is a trust. One that you will account for. That you cannot do what you want with it. Amen. So when I prayed, they said, let's go there. I said, we will not go there. It was Brother Gabriel. You remember Brother Gabriel? He used to be with Feka. I now told Gabriel, you know him. I said, tell them that that madness leaves now. And when Gabriel gave me the feedback, after like 4 or 5 minutes, the madness had gone back to where it came from. But I told Gabriel, I said that this guy will be mad tomorrow. And when he becomes mad tomorrow, his madness will, you will not see the guy again. His madness will be lifelong. He needs to confess how he became mad. That's his path to recovery. Gabriel said, no, sir. He said he wants to give his life to Christ. I said, I understand there is a prescribed path. There is, Jesus will receive him. But you see, God is a just God. There's something will be visited, and that boy will be mad maybe until he sees Jesus. So his friend said, confess, confess. I say, I want to say something. Say it. Your head is correct now. Well, he felt that his dignity was more important. It is sad to see that the last day they saw that guy as a student was the second day. His madness was so uncontrollable. They took him to a church. They chained him there for months. Until what was inside him grew. After the order of the madman from the Isle of the Gadarenes. I say this with a lot of pain. He broke his chains, and the rest is history. Whether he's still within the boundaries of the nation called Nigeria, or he has escaped, or maybe has even died, well, those who know. But that was his end. His academic pursuit was aborted. What was his crime? Because we found out after a few weeks, he had gone to increase his finances, not by work, but by sacrifice. And what is the instruction was that he should find an elderly woman and forcefully have sexual intercourse with that woman, and the woman dies after 7 days. Because there was no elderly woman to labor around, this guy marked the woman that used to come and clean the hostel. How can a woman be sweeping your hostel? For how much? And it is that woman you want to kill. Well, day one, day two, day three, day four. On the week that this thing was appointed, the story was that the woman fell sick. You know, some sicknesses are blessings. So when everybody goes to school, this young man will hide, hoping that the woman will come to clean. But by providence, she didn't come. So that day, first God's mad was day six. They just flashed him. That you'll be mad, you'll be very mad tomorrow. There's nothing to collect from Satan. It's nothing. They told us when we were small, if Satan gives you one thing, he'll collect 10 things. If he gives you one step of progress, it takes you back by 10 years. Can you compare one step to 10 years? There's no future in all this get rich, get rich. That's why on no ground will I compare a struggling Christian brother with a Yahoo boy. They don't live in the same realm. I know there are many in Ogbomoso, but I've been saying this with boldness. There's no one naira from any Yahoo boy with me. If any one of them has ever given me one naira before, let him come out to say he gave me one naira. I don't spend strange money. To the glory of God, this last week, we still paid for the site in millions. We pray. I don't know if some of you know that outside the morning prayers, the finance team, there's a finance team for that ark, and they pray every day, 1 hour every day since we got that land, every day, to make sure that God perfects it. We have been shown the way of prayer. We are marking that building with prayer. And I know that the way we have marked this building in prayer will open in prayer, and it will become a house of prayer. But we have bound ourselves by an oath that will not spend strange money. I can carefully tell you that the donations into that building project are monitored from EFCC in Ibadan. Every one naira they know at EFCC Ibadan. we report. So that if any stranger, anybody on their watch list gives money, is one male. Is to make sure, we make sure that the accounts, to the best of our ability, are fraud proof. Because if one, if strange one naira enters that place, God may not inhabit it. We won't be poor. But if the way out of poverty is to become a Yahoo boy, it's late. So if you are under the sound of my voice and you are feeling pressure, see, pressure does not kill people. Are you with me? Every time you feel pressure, what I used to use to console myself is I tell God, show me, show me. That night, he flashes the future at me. Strength, strike your key. Strength for today and bright hopes for tomorrow. That is that song that I use. So give me strength for today and then flash tomorrow. Every time I see tomorrow, I lose the lure to compromise. When I first came to town, people met me. One guy in my area took me to his house, opened the door. I saw 5 cars. He was a student. He was in 311 that time. He said, you are an intelligent person. What do you do? I said, I'm teaching in the secondary school. He said, how much are you earning? I said, 13,000 naira per month. Ah! He said, even him as an undergraduate, he was living in a 2-bedroom flat and he was staying alone. His other room was like a game room. All those mega TVs was his gaming TV. He said, see all these things. See, I'm not saying you should kill anybody, but I can help you. I remember what I said to him. I still remember his name. He's late now. You think any Yahoo boy has 50 years? Ah. Why do you think that there are bike men who are laboring in this town? They ride in the rain, they ride in the night. If blood money was the way, do you think anybody will be struggling? No, Bolu. The man that is doing the blood money, has he done for his children? When people get money by blood money, does the babalawo spend blood money? Okay. Ask them where they meet. Maybe the babalawo has built a mansion in town. The man is still staying in a hut, but he's making people rich. Oh, Monola. May God give people wisdom. There is a part of travel, and the reality on that part is that there are many sorrows. There are arrows on the road that have been prepared. So the Bible says those that want to get rich, by all means, they pierce themselves with not one, many sorrows. Many. I'm trying to show that once you lock God out, there is no end to the possibilities of your depravity. Next verse, 29. Being filled with what? All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, any other one? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There is nothing that you cannot harvest from the life of a man who has locked God out. We have found out that there are progressions in the body of Christ. There is an emergence of people who are in church, and from church they shut down on God. And because people have lost touch of the one who is within, the outworkings of those lives communicate things that are so contrary to the government of God. The error is that we have labored to solve external problems, not knowing that what we see are fruits of a tree that is within. A tree that opposes, that has a tree that has locked God out. So to keep people in the faith, we need to labor again around the consciousness of the one who dwells within, the Christ within, the indwelling Christ. That the reality of salvation, and when I speak of the reality of salvation, I do not just speak of that which happens at the event of salvation. You were saved as an event, and you are designed to live still saved as an experience. Are you with me? So there's the event of salvation. There is also the life of salvation. That life is only made possible because there is still a consciousness of the one that is within. That's why we're laboring in this line. When God is lost within a man, the externalities of that man express a departure from God. So the part of recovery is to reapprehend the consciousness of the indwelling Christ that is here. Joseph didn't go to Bible school. But when the wife of Potiphar was going to draw him away, he said, "I cannot sin against God." And he was willing to jettison the proof of the love of his father, which was his coat of many colors. Which was his overcloth. He had lost the coat of many colors. He was willing to jettison he had a garment that he wore. It was like his official garment as the head, the housekeeper in the house of Potiphar. He was willing to leave that overcloth. Some Bible commentators say that it was not even an overcloth he was wearing. It was his normal cloth. That the woman dragged his cloth. You know, if they drag your cloth, one way, if you watch wrestling very well, if they are dragging your cloth, one thing you can do is to remove the cloth so that the person has the cloth. Some claim that he ran out naked. He was willing to suffer along the lines of his dignity just so that his destiny could escape. He had seen that the best of his life was not in Potiphar's house. One day Potiphar will, for food's sake, Potiphar will bow down before me. I cannot kill you here. I will never corrupt the seed that I carry.
The power of the Holy Ghost, nations will drink of fresh wine from me.
I will never
corrupt the seed that I carry.
Oh, there's help tonight. There's help tonight.
By the power of the Holy Ghost,
One more time.
I will never
corrupt. Santa di conte samate ratto cove amia casometa. Says no. Because of the consciousness of the Christ within. Because of the valuation. Somebody say valuation. Of the Christ within. You have placed the Christ within side by side with every other thing. And your conclusion is that it's too precious to be traded. Sir, there's a possibility that you have some things that have stopped working, but you can't throw them away. The reason is because those things have become memorials. Memorials to events that happened in your life. I have Bibles that have become tattered. But the Bibles, they are like trophies. Because I used to buy a new Bible when a new thing happens in my life. So I can lift it and say, I saw one this afternoon, 2015, when the gates opened. I bought that Bible when I went for my first external administration. I still read for me this afternoon. When the gates opened. Hashem with Tori Yomi, that between 2015 and now, I have preached in every geopolitical zone except one. And the cycle is about to complete. So when I got a call yesterday, God said that's the end of the cycle. So I have just one more geopolitical zone and then another gate open. So, tattered or not, I read them. I've overpainted some Bibles. I even have clothes that I don't want to throw away. Because this cloth, the name of the cloth is God is with me. I wore that cloth was the only thing that for a season was the only good thing in my life. It was proof that destiny cannot stop here. Value. We need to ask ourselves the question, do we still have an accurate perspective of how valuable the Christ within is? Because we live differently if our value system is the same. It's as though the longer people stay in church, the longer they get used to the things that happen in Christendom, the lesser value they have for those things. That's why people can do comedy and put tongues inside. Because they think that tongues is like Spanish. Are you with me? There are things that people should do with fear. Why you see people wear anything that crosses their mind to church? I mean such things that brothers need to relocate. And even when they get home, they are still praying. Lord, cleanse my heart. And they didn't go to a pub house. They didn't go to a club. They came to church. It's because that person has a wrong valuation of the body of Christ. There are things you don't wear to a courtroom. Your dressing is regarded as contempt of court. Because you dress like this. There are things you don't wear to an interview. Abi. But you see, church is like, is everybody's father's house. Forgetting that my Bible says that if I be your father. Oh, what some people's Bible read is if I be your father, where is your presence? So they think showing up in church is enough honor. God says, where is my honor? I was putting together my offering about 4 Sundays ago. And Jesus said, you know, you like, I have a penchant for new notes. It's one way that I save money. So anytime a new note shows up, I know that new note cannot be spent. I will be keeping it, saving it. Forgetting that if you save new note, when you go to the ATM, it's still dirty note they give you. But I was arranging my offering. And Jesus pointed at certain new notes. I said, why are you keeping that one for? I said, Lord, you told me to increase my offering. I increased my offering. You told me you don't want 10% given from me again as tithe. That you are bigger than that. That you increase the percentage, I increased it. Why are you pointing to notes? He said, so me, I will take the dirty ones. You will take the new ones. He said, I want the new ones. That thing is not for you. That's how we interact. If I talk to you for a week and I don't tell you what God tells me, I'm no longer worth listening to. And I'm not just saying the inspiration he gives me. If the Lord can no longer rebuke your pastor, then it's no longer worth listening to. Is he perfect? So God only tells him good things. God does not say you are wrong. I felt bad. Not because Jesus was stretching, but that behavior was tantamount to dishonor. You know, people used to give tattered offering as though church is a filling station. Because in filling station, you say, but in church, we bring those same things that Shebide, we take the money to bank. Forgetting that between your hand and bank, there is one who receives in heaven. So there is the call to begin to value again. We need to go back, sit around the experience. That day you cried. That day you came into the consciousness, one, of your depravity, two, of your helplessness, three, the consciousness of God's benevolence in providing a way out of depravity for you. The way you loved him, the way you said you will serve him. And you need to compare the fervor, the passion in your heart with where you are now. Is he still valued? Or he has become like one of them? That's why we need to look again at the indwelling Christ. Now, there's one other thing I need to clear out of the way. And I'll stop wherever he wants me to stop. Because some people may be confused. That when we begin to speak of the realities of the indwelling Christ, they look like the activities of the Holy Ghost. How many people are confused like that? Raise your hand. Good. Good. I finished my notes. So when I sat down yesterday, the Lord said, did I sit down? No, we're already on the bed. The family had slept. It was just me alone. And the Lord said, check this thing. So let's look into what he said to me yesterday. He called it the mystery of, is he represented persons? There's a way he rendered it. Let me see it. He called me the mystery of replaced personalities. You want to pass? Pass. The mystery of replaced personalities. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Just 4 verses of scripture. And then we'll run through this second phase. The Bible says what? Can we go from, what does verse 18 give us a lead? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of who? Of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Now, people can boldly say, my body is the temple of God. Would the person be wrong? But now, the Bible is moving from the legal reality into the experiential reality or the organic reality. Is saying to us that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Just like the deity inside Shango's temple is who? Eh? Oh yeah, no. Okay, you have not seen Shango's temple. You only watch Man Zion film. Even inside Man Zion film, they are deities. There was one they did. There was a god there that was called Orisha Bobo. I think that's the god's are dead. If you enter Orisha Bobo's temple, who lives there? Orisha Bobo. But they are making us understand that this temple of God is also in organic terms referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says ye, which is in you, which ye have. It means this Holy Ghost that you have is given by God. The word of there is ek. It means this Holy Ghost that lives in you, making you his temple, is sourced of God. So if you say God lives in me, That's a legal statement. The experiential part of that utterance is the Holy Ghost lives inside me. So the Holy Ghost lives inside you as God's representative in there. Are you with me? So, because the Holy Ghost is representing God, he means he will perform the roles that God will carry out inside you. Are you with me? Good. And ye are not your own. We'll look for other verses of scripture to be able to explain how this thing works. 1 Corinthians 3:16 should also help us. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of who? Now, so you see the temple of the Holy Ghost, you see the temple of God. But in case you want to think, there are two different temples. If we continue this one, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God does what? Dwelleth in you. It means the temple of the Holy Ghost is also the temple of God. But the one who dwells in that temple, making it the temple of God or the temple of the Holy Ghost, is who? It's the Holy Spirit. So my interactions with the Holy Spirit, who dwells within my members, are interactions with God, their interactions with Christ. The things that God wants to do in me will be carried out by the Holy Ghost. So if I say, God, help me, it's the Holy Ghost that goes ahead to help me. He helps me representing God. Are you with me? So when we speak of the indwelling Christ, the one who dwells in us on behalf of the Christ is the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost, to perform all the roles of the Christ, is gifted a name. He's called the Spirit of the Christ. That's why I said we should learn that song. You remember that song? It's the Holy Ghost. You found that song. He's upon us. He's the Holy Ghost. He's upon us, the center of the city of God. It means it's the one who brings the authority of the city of God. He's upon us, God's mighty right hand. So he's God's mighty right hand. He's upon the custodian.
Custodian of the secrets of God.
He's the custodian of the secrets of God.
He's upon us.
He's the
Holy Ghost.
He's upon us.
He's upon us.
Oh, oh, oh.
The center of the city of God.
Center of the city of God.
He's upon us.
That's my right
hand.
Custodian,
custodian of the secrets of God.
Yes, he is the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
He is the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
He is the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
He is the custodian.
Center of the city of God.
Oh, he is the Holy Ghost. The one who came upon us came as a representative of certain realities. So if you go to that verse that we love so much in this house, you go to John chapter 16, and if you begin to read from verse 12, you will see the progressions, how he was licensed to function like that. From verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Let's run it. How be it when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The word truth there is reality. The word truth there is your experiences. So we can say, how be it when he, the spirit of your experiences, is come, he will guide you into all experiences. For he will not speak of himself. It means his words, his utterances will not be sourced within himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So the Holy Ghost becomes the echoing spirit. He only says what has been said. And he will show you things to come. Jesus goes ahead to explain the dynamics of the revelatory ministry of the Holy Ghost. Verse 14. Help me. He shall glorify me. It means that one of the ministries of the Holy Ghost is to express as the advertisement of the Christ. He will showcase the Christ. How will he do it? For he shall receive of mine. So when God wants to give the things of the Christ, the receptor is not man, it's the Holy Ghost. And he will now take what is of the Christ and manifest it unto you. Verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine. In essence, what the Holy Spirit does is that he receives of the Christ everything that belongs to the Father. And he shall take of mine and shew it unto you. So the realities of the indwelling Christ are the realities of God. But the Holy Spirit receives of the Christ and he will shew it to us. So the indwelling Christ is actually the mystery of the spirit of the Christ. The Holy Spirit expressing as the representative of the Christ. Are you with me? So is your confusion clear now? So when you got saved, there was a seal, the proof. Like when you go to an accurate outlet, maybe like, you know, in the regular outlet, when you buy something, they collect your receipt. Your receipt is supposed to come in sheets that can be scratched. So they just pull two lines, you go out. And that's not a regular outlet. And that is just a make-believe one. When you go to ShopRite, for example, in Ilorin, when you are coming out, they are not supposed to tear your receipt. They used to tear it before, but they don't tear it anymore now. They take a seal and they press it on your receipt. What is supposed to come out of the seal is paid. It's the seal that transaction has been perfected. So that if anybody wants to grab you and say, why are you speaking in tongues? What you flash at them is a seal. I'm licensed to. Why did you lay hands on this person? Why is he healed? It's not me. I am a chartered agent of healing. I am a chartered preacher of gospel. I am a chartered soul winner. Because there is the seal of the Holy Spirit that makes legal, or if you want, makes legitimate the things of the Christ that has expressed in you. The Holy Ghost. If you want another verse, then we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and we can begin to read from verse 16. Maybe we should start from verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is torn away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the Bible says the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn, and this speaks of the economy of salvation, that when a man becomes saved by turning to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. 17. But who takes the veil away? Now that Lord that we said you turned to, who took away the veil, is that spirit. It means the job of taking away the veil is not carried out by Jesus. Is carried out on his behalf by the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord that is representing the Lord is, there is Liberty, the word there is access. Because you are not talking about breaking bondages. You are talking about veils. It means you can pierce through the veil where the Holy Ghost is. So your Bible will be a newspaper if you don't understand how to function like this. That when you carry it, instead of just reading to no understanding, you will say, Holy Ghost, help me. And then he will have received the license to take away the veil and you can pierce him. And that's how we read Bible. Amen. So that's what, so what we are teaching now is that Christ is in you, but he dwells in you via his spirit. So let's run Christ indwelling. We can't finish again. The desire of God for fellowship, I'll be quite brief. The desire of God for the fellowship of the Christ, and if you like, is with the Christ, is not that he visits, but that he abides. That's the design. That last week we saw the incoming. The life of the believer is not supposed to be many incomings of the Christ. Jesus came to it. Like sunshine comes to visit us once in a while. Jesus does not want to be like sunshine. Because after a while we'll say, ah, sunshine, well, I've missed you. And then she'll show her face again. Only to be missed. The believer is not designed to miss Jesus. Because the incoming is supposed to give way to an indwelling experience. Amen. Christ, the incomer, or the Christ, the visitor, is designed to become Christ, the ever-present. So the psalmist began to speak of his fellowship with God. He said, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present. Christ, the ever-present. Now, let me break this into more experience-based terms. If he comes to greet us in our house, she has come, she doesn't like our house. She has come only maybe twice or three times. One day, you came with them like that. If he meets me in the sitting room, one thing she can find out is that as much as it looks, as much as I am, by the mercies of God, spiritual, I watch football. How many of you think I watch football? Okay, few of you. You believe that watching football makes you a carnal man? Praise was in our house yesterday. And I was eating beside her. I'm sure she was wondering, how this guy used to eat. So we told her to eat, and she said, "No, I've eaten before." So did I eat specially? It was my wife on the other side, so it was not a problem. So I'm saying that if somebody told you he can eat, so no, can't you see it's not fat? He used to fast every day. You saw me eat yesterday. After a while, everybody was trying to rest one way or the other. You saw me lie down on our chair and rest and sleep. Say, God, this guy used to sleep. Oh. The reason is because you stayed. And you must have spent almost like maybe 7 or 8 hours. About that. He gave you room to see me in many dimensions. What it means is that if Christ dwells in you, you are exposed to multifaceted experiences of the Christ. You will know Christ along many lines. Those who treat Christ as a customer care executive, when the boss is, you know, in Nigerian film, no boss gets accidented straight. The driver must turn the steering left and right. And then he will gradually park the car and match a tree. And that's how they used to do in Nigerian film. Because they don't destroy things in Nigerian film. If you see a car is burning, they will create the fire around the car. God will help us. Sometimes poverty moves away from things. It enters the mind. And so somebody becomes creative because his mind is poor. Well, I'm saying that that's only the use some people have for Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! And they cast it. God lives. So they only know Christ the Savior. That journey that they undertook, a journey that almost ended in an accident, was not commanded by Jesus. So it's not Jesus the Master. It's not Jesus the Lord. It's just Jesus the Rescuer. So every time they need him, they invite him. Because I don't know how many of you stored the name of the MTN customer care executive that responded to you the last time you loaded 500 naira and you found out that there's no credit yet. So I loaded credit. The person is saying, good morning, my name is, say, madam, my credit. The person is saying, oh, I'm trying to check. You say, please, there's no relationship between us. Just give me my credit or reform my money. Some people relate to Jesus like that. That if it's not solving a problem, there's no relationship. If you allow him to stay, you will know him on many grounds. But if he comes and goes, your knowledge of the Christ will be sparse. One of the feedbacks, a feedback so strong that it became Jesus' definition of eternal life, is that they may know him. That he will become recognizable as a byproduct of the experiences that they have had with him. Many experiences will now make them know him. That they may know thee, John chapter 17 verse 3, as the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So it may not be that you don't, it may not be that you don't have access to literature, you don't have access to sermons, you don't go to a good church. It's that you have not allowed him to stay long. There are some friends that you have that they are just your friend who plays PS2 with you. Do they still play PS2? PS4? Okay, let's say PS5. They play PS5 with you. You don't know they know how to cook until you allow them to stay one night. After you have played PS5, and some of those games are addictive, you have played for 5 hours, and then you wake up and say, I've been pamisha. Say you are too tired. Your friend say, let's go to the kitchen. You are wondering, I thought it was only PS5 you can play. Then you get into the kitchen. And you know, cooks, master cooks, you can know even if they have not poured anything on the fire. Their knife handling skills is with mastery. Say, cut tomato. He's holding the tomato like he wants to kill a goat. You know, this one is not. Many years ago, I saw one Chinese film. The guy's assignment was to cut fish in eateries. And one of the things that master chef said was that the average person who has been eating fish does not know the taste of fish. You know why? We cut with ordinary knives. The average Chinese chef freezes his knife. The knife must go back to the temperature of the waters from where the fish came from. And if you move that knife out of the freezer and cut your fish, the fish comes out with its original taste. The taste of fish you have been eating has metallic taste inside it. And that's why people go to learn cooking. You can cook the same thing, it will taste differently. When you cook rice, all you do is that when the water dries, you chew it in your mouth, it's still hard. What do you do next? You pour water. You don't know how to cook rice. And then I'm sure you don't know what temperature rice cooks at. How many of you know? You just turn your gas. Say, don't waste gas, though. Don't waste gas. And then you turn it. People who cook rice know the temp. Because what we are eating is rice that is void of any nutrient. The light of the stove is too high. It has quenched everything inside the rice. Anyway, the African man largely just eats to fill his stomach. That's all. May God deliver us. It's volume that people eat. Volume, volume. So people who cook rice, they are more mindful of the preservation of the nutrients. Most of the vegetable that is ingested in Nigeria has no vitamins inside it. It's been overcooked. I don't know how to cook many things, so, but I understand that when you cook vegetable, it should be near raw when you are eating it. That's the most nutritious thing. Now cooked vegetable is already soft and they are eating it. We are not goats now. What I'm saying is, if you don't stay long, you don't know the possibilities of that person. In the same way, many people don't know the Christ and they have no plans to know him, because there is a cost in time that needs to be paid. Not in days, but in years before it's mastered. I'll share with Oriyomi. I got a message yesterday. Sir, my spiritual life has been going up and down. I said, okay. It's, and then he now added to it, I've listened to all your messages and they didn't help me. So I wanted to type and say, Oga, why now? Am I that bad a preacher? The Lord now said, don't send the message, call him. But what you should ask him is, has he been reading his Bible? So I said, have you been reading your Bible? He said, yes. Has reading the Bible helped you? He said, no. I said, you see, if my sermons don't help you, and reading the Bible cannot help you, I'm not sure. No, because you need to be sincere with people. No, don't you not make our labors look like we're wasting time? People have been helped. Are you obeying all the instructions in the sermons? He said, to the best of my ability. Are you obeying everything you read in the Bible? I'm trying. I said, good. We spoke about 6:30 yesterday. Have you prayed today? I said, for 15 minutes. He said, 15 minutes. Okay, have you prayed today? He said, I can't remember. Have you read your Bible? I mean, you just opened, read one verse of scripture. This is 6:30 in the evening. Today. He said, no. And you have been doing to the best. That you are, I need to check what best of your ability means. So I said, have you been fasting? When last did you fast? He said, can't remember which day. I said, young man, you don't want to follow Jesus. I don't pamper people. Because there are many things you can follow. If you want to follow Jesus, we have labored to get you saved. We shouldn't be babysitting you. Also, I want to be strong. I want you to be praying for me every day. No. We didn't go for prayers like that to be strong. We labored. You will need to consciously read your Bible. And if you don't understand it, we don't walk around. We stay there. Sometimes we cry. Call me ni honore. Omi la toke wa, omi ni onore, kemi mashuga be onore. We don't sing that song clapping, we cry. And maybe some people have options. Me, I know that if I don't know scriptures, my life has finished. No, what do I want to go and start doing? Okay, I want to go and look for a job now that the age is 24. Now I need to doctor my birth certificate and miss heaven, because the rest of my life is a lie. So we plead, Lord, you said that the meek would you guide in understanding. If there's pride in my heart, take it out. I am teachable. Teach me in tears. Now so impart me. Let me understand the Bible. You are wicked. Are we saying that it should not be easier for the next generation? But when I was in school, I didn't have this privilege of instruction. If you allow him to dwell, many answers you are looking for will be answered. Because his ever dwelling, his sustained dwelling, will open you up to many experiences with the Christ. You will learn that one day, the strength of praying men is not smoking something. That the strength of praying men is the spirit of prayer. And the spirit of prayer is not an essence, it's a person. You will need to fulfill all the laws that maximize his existence before you can pray well. So that you can come into prayer and say, help me pray now. You say, Lord, I have come to an end of myself. I know I need to pray, but I cannot. You will not come and say, I prayed for 10 hours yesterday, I'll pray for 10 hours today. You know after a 10-hour prayer meeting, you can be prayerless. If you are not helped, so you will beg. That this sermon is good, but Lord, I'm still preaching tomorrow. I'm preaching on Tuesday morning. I'm preaching on Thursday. I'm preaching on Friday morning. I'm preaching on Friday night. I'm preaching on Saturday morning. I'm preaching on Saturday night. Lord, I'm preaching on Sunday night. And I'm still preaching on Monday and Tuesday night. I'm trying to give my itinerary. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. If you leave it to preparation, you will not catch up. Unfortunately, the sermons are so different. They say, come and preach breaking bondages. And here they say, fragrance of the Christ. They say, the kingdom of God. Say, mastering ministry. How do you want to relate them together? You will need a spirit. I have found out that even in my spirit preparation, there's a dimension of the Holy Ghost where it's called the spirit of my preparation. That even if I show up prepared, it's by a spirit. If I introduce the Holy Spirit to you, you will feel that it's not the same spirit. Because I have created weakness along every activity that I'm doing. For strength is perfect in my weakness. So I conscious, even the things I know how to do. How many of you have driven with me before? How do I start? Once, before I press my key, Lord, you help us on this journey. And I can do that 3 times on journeys. Even if I start and I'm almost forgetting. If my wife is in the car, she'll say, we have not prayed. I learned it from my biological father. That he believes even till now. He doesn't know how to drive. I mean, when we're coming to church, what's the distance from our house to church? We'll still pray. If I'm going to buy bread, I'll still pray. You think it's not consequential? The people who do the kind of things that we do are praise. If God does not protect you. Okay, you know how to drive. What of the other guy? The tipper is built with a metal. It will react. If a tipper dents, the person in the car has died. So you know how to drive. You don't want to commit the journey to God. I've been driving to Kaduna. You can be going to Apake and not arrive. So we leave it in his hands. And I still don't know how to after many years. Help me. And some of you know that I like to drive. I love it. But it helps me drive. When I was going to Adam, the road was so lonely. And I was driving alone. I was praying. When I got to a police checkpoint, the policeman said, you are driving on this road alone. Oga, do you need an escort? I said, Oga, I'm defending. I was flying like an aeroplane on the road. But I asked him. I'll read through my notes and I should be done in 5 minutes. But my emphasis is that nobody really comes into the fellowship of the many faces of the Christ until it begins to dwell. So the multifaceted realities of the Christ are the experience of the one who gives him room to dwell. You know him as the Lord. You know him as the Savior. He becomes your governor. He becomes your teacher. He becomes your friend. He becomes your confidant. He brings counsel. He brings comfort. He brings conviction. Sometimes he occasions judgment. He provides. He gives room for function. At other times, He restrains. He governs your associations. The ever-present Christ brings us, that's the indwelling Christ, brings us into the fellowship of the ever-present communications of the Christ. If we live in the same house for long and we are not fighting, we will be saying so much to each other. And somebody is asking, why did you now title this experience with the Christ as the intensification of consecration? Is that if I stay long in the same house with you, you'll be more committed to me. Are you with me? The one who knows Him only as the Christ who came in knows Christ is Savior. So he's committed only to the salvific expressions of the Christ. The one who brings Him to dwell, he knows that Savior is how He baits you in. But His face is actually the face of a Lord. You'll be consecrated to His saving abilities. Now you'll be consecrated to His Lordship. You will know Christ who checkmates Him. Like they play chess and you lock a king. The king in your soul wants to manifest. He knows how to move a knight or a bishop to lock your king in place, that if your king moves, they will chop it. You can finish a chess game where your chips are still on the board. Am I right? And you can just lock some principal officers and the game is over. That's what the indwelling Christ does. He tames you. And the more tamed you are, the more consecrated you are. Because every area of your life that He tames begins to yield in vulnerability. You find out that in those areas you have no more power. The proof that Christ has won is that you lose power in that area. And because you lose power, you become more dependent. That's how consecration increases. I can control my money. So you make 10 million and you say, 1 million is too much to give to give as tithe to church. Huh? Are we not all students? Can I have 1 million? See? You know, some people think like that. They can give tithe of 1,000 naira. But once it's 10 million, they say, 1 million is too much. So they wake up after 2 months. And the 1 million, based on design, has wings. Because if the part that secures it has not been rendered, the others can become winged. And then it flies away. And the person says, Jesus, help me. And he says, am I your Lord? You say, you are my Lord. You died for me. He said, your financing call. You know, 1 million is too much for me. You now say, no, Lord. I give it all to Him. What He has done is to use lordship to gain consecration in your finance. He says, don't date that brother. He said, no. They told us that anybody we like, may you not like strangeness. If you like someone who, you know, there are men who beat women that they have not married. I used to have a beloved sister. It still did not end well anyway. But there was this brother that she was dating. All of us were in the same level. Even though the brother was in a different fellowship, he was in evangelism. Two of us were in Bible study. They are in the same department. Oh, okay, I think we are all in engineering. I won't mention department because she watches the meetings. But she knows she's the one I'm talking to. She's my sister. This guy expects that even though we finish lecture around 3 o'clock together, his food should be on his table by 4:30. Now, both of them are students. And if the lady, she will go to our hostel, cook. If she brings food late, how he deals with that lateness is that he removes his belt and beats her. Until one policeman that was his neighbor came out with a gun and said, this lady is your mate, she cooks for you. This lady washes your clothes. You are not married. She now brought food late. If you beat her again, I will kill you. But I like him. I like him. I don't know how people like strangeness. He's my word. What God does sometimes is that he enters into a silent phase. He allows people to come to the end of themselves, because the indwelling Christ is not a striving Christ. He can wait, Jibola. He can wait for 5 years of suffering. Once in a while, he will become vocal and say, allow me. Say, but I love him. He will go quiet. Because when he came in, the technology of the incoming Christ is subscription. Are you with me? The technology of the indwelling Christ is not oppression. It's still subscription. Any area of your life you don't allow him to come into, he will not come. So there are visitors who come to your house, even though they have a lot of competencies, because you kept them in the sitting room, they will be in the sitting room. That's how Christ does. Until you cook beans 5 times and you keep burning it, or you stare at Mala, and everyone you stare, you run it down the drain because there are too many lumps. You now say, I say, Peter, you say, Peter, can you make Kamala? He say, yes. He said, with this your hand. Say, yeah, can you make a man? Oh. See, that's the alibi. He says he doesn't like it. That's why he can't make it. There are many foods I don't like that I can't make. Praise, can you make a man? You are sure? Yes. Okay, so she can make. But if we keep praise in the sitting room and say, be watching Cartoon Network, we will not know that you can make a mala until we give you access to the kitchen. The faces of the Christ that you have not known, even though he lives inside you, are proof that you have not given him room to come into every space in your life. Because sequel to his incoming is his indwelling. But we have found out in scriptures that the design is not just that he dwells, it's that he feels. That every room is Christ. He's Christ in the kitchen. He's Christ in the bedroom. He's Christ in the toilet. He's Christ in your garage. That's what secures your car. I know that there are some things that I cannot do in my car, because I have gifted that car as a host to Jesus. You live here. Even to such small things as songs that I cannot play. This, my phone, is a host. So there are some things that cannot creep into the phone. My bank accounts are a host. Jesus not only attracts money into them, he governs what is spent there. So there are some people I can't give money. Because the one who governs that realm says, don't give this one. Are you with me? That's the design. We become more consecrated because when he lives in us, we experience him more. When we speak of consecration, this service, my sermon will end in 3 minutes because Pastor Genesis, you are not lodging Ogbomoso this night now. You are going back home. Eh? Okay, so we have to release them. Let me close here. As you begin to yield to every prompting of the indwelling Christ, which is a prompting to know him more, to subscribe more to what he brings, I said to us that we begin to see progressions in consecration. I will stop at the point of making you understand that the more consecrated you are, the more expressive you are of Paul's concept of being a living sacrifice. Because what Paul was teaching in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, he said, I urge you therefore by the mercies of God that ye offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. And the Bible says this is your reasonable service. I've defined reasonable service for us. This is a verse that teaches us the mystery of consecration. Every advertisement of the Christ is supposed to provoke an offering. a department to department offering. Every time he shows up to be something, you must respond by offering something that establishes that revelation. So if he comes as the Lord, you must yield government. So that his face as the Lord finds expression. If he gains that way, even in his lordship, you will need to yield your choices. You will need to yield your associations. So there are many ministry call-ups I have. And I told you last week, some of them come in sanctimonious manner. We have a conference and we have been engaging God. And God said that you are the one that's supposed to bring the word of life. I understand. But I will still sanctimoniously say, he has not revealed your ministry to me. Maybe another time. I don't close doors. Maybe another time. How many of you saw the civil war I just started 2 days ago? That if you know that a man is occultic, if you know that he's immoral, if you know that a man consciously manipulates his people or oppresses them, if you know that a man is addicted to erroneous doctrine, don't preach for him again as a minister. If they invite you to their conferences, let them promise you heaven and earth. Say no! Don't be part of a man's sin, so because God will judge you with them. That's not how to get popular. That's how to die before your time. You will not meet a blessing at the end of that journey. What you meet is a sword of judgment. Because there are some ministries that are losing popularity that should die. Because Satan is involved. It's God that is reducing their membership, but you are using your own popularity to drive it. He needs to be Lord over the invitations that you say yes to. Oh, minister of God. If you begin to yield like that, Peter, don't think that because I've yielded to the indwelling Christ, the enemy will take his eyes from that. That's where I want to close. The enemy comes after sacrifices. He doesn't give up. That's why one of the ways to relate with the indwelling Christ is that you are ever sacrificing because he's ever present. Let me show you a verse from scripture. That's where I close. Genesis 15:9 is a story. What happened to our father Abraham? And he said unto him, this is God to Abraham, take an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Let's go on, we're going to 11. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not, they were small. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, it was an offering that he had given to God, but the fowls took him. What did he do? Abraham drove them away. It means when you have yielded to the indwelling Christ, you will enter into another labor. It's the labor of driving away. Say, my time belongs to you, Jesus. Strange people will still come to lure you to the places you used to go. You won't say, Jesus, I've given it to you. Anything that happens, no. You will consciously drive away. Because you will not give up. I want to close here. So when we come back next week, I will do the indwelling, Christ's indwelling part 2. And then I will do Christ's infilling. And then we pray. The design is that whatever you have learned, you practice. So when we get home tonight, we expect that we sectorize our life. I know it's one life. But for ease of giving to Jesus, break it down. My life around friends, I give you. Now choose Jesus. Who is my friend? Being friendly doesn't mean being friends with everybody. Who is my friend? Say, for this season, you don't have friends. It means nobody is my friend. Apostle Romans says, if you have 7 friends that you keep consistently, then you are a very wise man. You are happy. What it means is that we need to come and learn what kind of wisdom you have that makes you survive flowing with 7 people consistently. your labors around the Christ is supposed to affect your social life. Are you with me? It will kill your social life, so that you not send some people away, they will go away. Because you can't journey with me if you are not carrying the kind of cross I'm carrying. Come and make my life your home. Come and be everything I ever known. Search me true and true.
Set me true and true till my heart becomes a home.
One more time, come and make my heart your home.
Make my heart your home.
Come and be everything.
Come and be everything.
I am an all
I know.
Oh, search me true and true.
Search me true and true.
Till this heart becomes a home. Till my heart becomes,
till my heart becomes,
it becomes a home. One more time, till my heart becomes, let it become a home. Till my heart becomes,
my heart becomes a home for you.
So, Father, tonight we ask for mercy. That you will breathe upon our hearts. You will search us true and true. You will expose every room in our hearts where you have not found acknowledgement. And you will give us the grace to smuggle you in, that you may dwell in us. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Okay.
I believe that you have been blessed by God's word from the mouth of His choice servant, the Reverend Tolu Alugu Agbola. To get more of this nourishment for your spirit, you can follow us on social media at HWCN Global on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Mixlr, and Telegram. You can also follow all our services live on any of these social media platforms. Keep doing the word. Keep being a fair worshipper. God bless you.